uprooted. Build a pretty good life for yourself. You got money, property, a great partner, and the love of your extended family. Things are going pretty well, but you sense something's missing. So you quit your job, sell what you can, gather up all you have left, and decide to wander the country in a Winnebago. You're ready to just see what comes next and enjoy life without worries. And things go horribly wrong. You lose all your money. You can't find a job that will replace all that you had. Your life is in shambles. Your partner is angry. You long for what things used to be like. And you find your way back home. Plotline? Name the movie? It's the plotline for the 1985 movie Lost in America. Albert Brooks, Julie Haggerty. It's a film where a couple decides to uproot and live their lives a la Easy Rider in a Winnebago. The plotline for the Albert Brooks film isn't too much different from the story of Abraham, recognized as the root of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. So Abram, he had a slightly different name at the beginning of the story, and Sarai, she had a different name too, had it pretty good. They had made a good life for themselves. They had money, property, each other, and the love of their extended family. And something was missing. For them, it was something different than the characters in Lost in America. For Abram and Sarai, it was more family. They wanted children. Instead, they got the chance to wander. God told Abram to go. And he went. More on that later. He and Sarai had many adventures. This actually happened. Abram gave away his wife in marriage to a pharaoh in Egypt because he wanted some food and money. Pharaoh gave her back when things didn't go so well. Abram loved his family, but he knew that things with his nephew, Lot, weren't going to go smoothly all the time. He split up with Lot, splitting the places they would settle and live to keep them from becoming enemies. You know that Mizpah coin that we ever seen? I mean, it's old now, but it was two sides of a coin that people give one to the other, and it says, "The Lord, watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other," and we take it as this sign of enduring love. It comes from the story of Abraham and Lot, or Abram and Lot, and instead of being about how God will keep us close while we're far apart, it's, "May God keep us far apart." So think about that if you ever wear a Mizpah coin again. It's got a whole different meaning. Oh, boy. Abram and Sarai wanted children. They even got their names changed. Now it's Abraham and Sarah. But they still didn't have any children. Abraham did have a child with Sarah's servant, Hagar. And after a while, Sarah became very jealous of Hagar, the servant, and Ishmael, the son, who is recognized as the founder of Islam. Abraham and Sarah finally did have a child, though, Isaac. He's recognized as the founder of Judaism and, by extension, Christianity. And then there's this one time that Abraham almost killed Isaac to prove he loved God. Don't get me started on this one. I mean, I could get started, but I don't care how you fit it into the story of following God. It's an awful story, and we would be better off without it. Let's just say that things didn't always go well for Abraham and Sarah. They had reasons to celebrate, yes. They had failures, and they made huge mistakes. But through all of it, God was with them. There's the basic story. I've left a lot out, but I've given a background to this morning's Bible reading. It describes some of the beginning of the journey. God told Abram to go to the land God would show him, and God promised blessing, and Abram went. We've got a little more information on how the story went, but we are missing another big part of the story that's never really told. I wonder what occurred between the part where God told Abram to go and Abram went. Where? Why? How? Questions, fear, doubt, arguments, plans, packing, unpacking, packing again, second guessing. Questions, fear, doubt, arguments, and then maybe going. See, I think often we have gotten this idea that God told Abram to go, and Abram picked up and went. Kind of like the disciples, they just picked up and said, yeah, I'll follow you. The Bible doesn't hold back on all the adventure after Abram left, but I wish there was a little more to the adventure that came before the journey started. And here's why. Because the place before the journey starts is really where we live. We live in questions and doubt and uncertainty. We live where fear and demonization of the other trumps common decency and respect. We live where bigotry and hate is energized and normalized. We live where this thing called Christian exceptionalism seeks to overturn the idea that all were created equal and no religion or religious expression shall be elevated by the government. And we're talking about Abraham, the ancestor of a multitude, from where Islam, Judaism, and Christianity grow. Abraham and Sarah lived in human reality. They lived where people were so often awful to one another. Humanity has lived there for generations. I want to know about the doubts and the fears that took place before Abram just up and left. I know I can't be positive that Abram had doubts and fears and questions and arguments about the whole go thing. But the rest of the story shows a significant amount of confusion, doubt, mistakes, and failures. And through all of it, God was with Abram and Sarai. And God promised Abram would be blessed. And Abram endured a whole lot of what you would probably call not blessed. But God never left. God did not call off the blessed part, because God never leaves. God never calls off the blessed part. And as God promised that Abram would be blessed, so God promises and wants all of God's children to be blessed. All, no exceptions. And we have to stop trying to do that. We all live with celebration. Doubt, happiness, tragedy, successes, mistakes, joy, and failure. And God never leaves. God loves all, and God wins. Love wins. One way love wins is when our actions are governed by love. Not fear, not anger, not hate, but love. So how are we going to act in love this week? Some things maybe we can do. It's Lent, a time of, yes, setting back, maybe giving things up, but it also is a season of doing. Like, how about write a letter? Make a phone call, make a donation. Write a letter in support of equality and kindness. Advocacy toward a marginalized population. How about immigrants or religious minorities, the LGBTQ community? Write a letter to your elected officials or to a news source. Or make a phone call to someone you know is going through a difficult time, and listen. Offer support and friendship. Not fix it, just listen. Or maybe make an extra donation to an organization that is helping. St. Paul's. Or any of the organizations who support through our benevolence giving, we support through our benevolence giving. Or another organization you know is doing good. What can we do? We can do a lot. Even one person can make a difference. And through it all, we can remember that God never leaves. You are God's children. I am one of God's children. We are God's children. We are blessed. So let us go and be a blessing. Amen.